2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, here we are, Sunday, just a few days after Christmas. And like Pastor Larry said, it kind of seems that everything begins to fade quickly. The lights come off the house, the trees come down, the trash is now piled up out by the yard. And that's something I enjoy to do after Christmas. Drive around and see kind of what the gift of the year was. You can drive around and you see these huge garbage bags full of wrapping paper that, you know, $10, $12 worth of wrapping paper that took you hours to wrap and 30 seconds for somebody to destroy, now sitting at the curb. And then you've also got, you know, the big boxes of that once held this 1,000-piece toy for, you know, ages 5 to 8 that it took hours to put together because it was just some assembly required. And, you know, you drive around and you see those kind of things, and it's fun. And I bet you if we took a poll, how many of you watch Family Feud? Or used to love that. We surveyed 100 people, you know, this question. What's the first word that comes to your mind when you hear Christmas? I bet you one of the first answers, the number one answer on the board, would be presents. You know, some people would say presents because they think, well, this I've got to get going and shopping for presents for family and friends. Some people would say, I can't wait to get my presents. I look forward to that. And then some people would actually say, you know what, Christmas to me is a time when we celebrate the present that God has given to us through Jesus Christ, His Son. And so presents could probably be the number one answer. But for the Christian, you know, Christmas should be more than just one day of celebration. Like Pastor Larry said this morning already, to the Christian, we're celebrating the gift that God's given to us every day of our lives. It's not just a one day celebration. And your handout says for the Christian, Christmas truly does last all year. I love the idea that we can celebrate Christmas every day. Now, I'm not giving my kids presents every day, but we can celebrate Christ's birth every day and what God has given to us through His Son. And another thing, you know, I like to do after Christmas, though, is if you drive around, and I don't go looking through people's trash, so don't get the wrong idea here. But as I do drive around after Christmas, you tend to notice, now that all the boxes and all the presents and all the garbage is gone, then what starts to appear is what? Anybody know? What's that? Well, the Christmas trees, there you go. But also, I heard somebody else say it, the old presents. The presents from Christmas past that all of a sudden, for whatever reason, have lost their youthfulness or usefulness and are no longer wanted. So they toss them out, toss them to the side. And, you know, but for somebody who knows Jesus Christ personally, has put their faith and trust in Him, they realized that the greatest gift ever given wasn't given under a tree, but it was given nailed to a tree. And so when you understand that God's greatest gift to us is Christ and what He did for us on the cross, shedding His blood and then being resurrected 3 days later, your handout says the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ is a gift that should never get old, lose its usefulness, or be cast to the wayside. It's a gift that doesn't grow old. That doesn't become useless at some point. And if you have Christ as your personal Savior and you've accepted that free gift that God's offered to you, it's important that you know how to make that gift useful in your life day in and day out. See, a lot of the Christmas gifts lose that usefulness. I'm not going to get that right this whole morning. They lose that usefulness that they once had when they were given, and they wind up getting cast away. But we as Christians got to be able to take what God has given to us and make it last. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is teaching the Corinthians that even though Christ is no longer with them in the flesh, there was a point in time when He was with them there in the flesh, but He's no longer there. But even though He's gone, there's still a responsibility of the believer to live under Christ and make that gift that they received through faith of effect and make it of use in their life. And so the question is how can you make the gift of Christ last in your life? And that's what I want to help you guys to see this morning from God's Word. And I believe we've got three principles that the Apostle Paul teaches the Corinthians here. Because in chapter 5, there's some great verses. And he says here in verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more." Christ is gone in the flesh. Okay, He's now seated at the right hand of God. And so we now have a responsibility. What can we do to make that gift last? Number one, your handout says, by removing the things that take away from the gift. Removing the things that take away from that gift. Now, something that we do in our house after Christmas, and praise the Lord, our kids don't fight us on this, we go through their closets and begin to remove old toys. There's toys in there that are either broken or games that are missing pieces or toys that they just lost interest in and they don't even play with anymore. And so what we do is gather them up and we either try to give them to somebody who, you know, has younger kids that could use them, or we do the popular, box them up, put them in the attic till the next garage sale. Or if they're just, you know, they're destroyed and I'm not going to give somebody a broken, beat down gift, we'll go ahead and put it out on the side of the street. And we clear them out. Why? Because we've got to make room for the new gifts, the new toys. And with grandparents and aunts and uncles like we've got in our family, there's a lot of gifts. And so we take our three kids and we got to purge out their closets so that we've got room for those new gifts. And now when you accept Christ as your Savior in your life, you don't go and hand off your old life to somebody else. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But what we do have to do is search ourselves for the things that remain in our life that don't belong anymore and remove them. Remove the things in our life that get in the way of this new life that God has given us here on earth. And you know, in the life of the Christian, there is only one gift. And that gift is through faith alone in Jesus Christ. It's the gift that God offered of salvation through Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. But your handout says the flesh can get in the way of your ability to effectively use the gift of salvation in your life. It can get in the way. That flesh is a wicked thing that can get in the way every time of that gift that God's given you. It doesn't make you lose the gift, but it gets in the way of that gift. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that be in Christ means that they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and accepting Him as their Savior. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. You see, the beauty of this verse is there's nothing that the believer did except for trust Christ. God did the work of removing the old so that there's room for the new. Because He's providing a new life for the believer. So there's things in our lives that we hold on to that we need to be able to remove. You know, I liken it to farming, which I am not a farmer, and we don't even have a garden at our house. But say I had a garden or a farm full of radishes. And because I don't like to eat radishes, I decide we're going to get rid of radishes. But before I go and I plant my watermelon, what do we got to do? We've got to get rid of the old, right? We've got to remove it. We've got to go get all the radishes out, retill the ground, and then we can plant the watermelon for something new. We've got to get rid of what's there. And hold your place in 2 Corinthians with me and flip over to Romans chapter 6 real quick. And look with me at verse 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. The Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be what?
Destroyed.
Now, I don't know about y'all, but when something's destroyed, it's got no more usefulness. It's dead and gone. And so it says that the body of sin might be destroyed. Why? That henceforth we should not serve sin. See, one of the things I think so many of us miss is when we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior and we believe on Him, we no longer have to live in sin. With Christ's death, burial, and resurrection and our belief in His life, we now have the power over sin. That's part of the gift that God gave us in Christ. See, so many of us just look at Christ's gift and say, well, I now have eternity with Christ, and that was it. But there's so much more to the gift than that. Part of it is that power over sin that He gave us. The old stuff in our life can get in the way if it's not removed. And so now we have the power through Christ to remove it. You know, this year's Christmas gifts get replaced with last year's. When we accept Christ as our Savior, the sinful things of our past need to be replaced with some godly things. We need to search our life and remove the things that are in the way of godly living and replace it with things like, you know, studying the Word of God on a daily basis. Maybe there were some things in your life that were in the way that you can now remove, and now in that place you can put studying God's Word. Maybe it's some friends that you had in your life that were in the way of you growing closer to God. You know what? You can remove them and put some godly friendships that can help encourage you and challenge you in the Word of God. And maybe it's Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, we're filled with watching football and things like that. Wednesday nights, we're filled with whatever. But now maybe you can remove those and put in, you know, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to learn more from the Word of God. I'm going to take all the things that I know don't belong, remove them, and now I'm going to replace them with some things that are of God that are going to help me grow in my life unto Him. And so, look at your handout. You're going to remove those things, but I want you to notice it says you can't just remove the things that will get in the way of living out the Christian life. You have to make sure there's no forethought of sinful living. Make sure there's no forethought. There's no opportunity. And on your handout, you've got Romans chapter 13, verse 14. He says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means don't live in the flesh, live in the Spirit. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make a conscious effort to say, you know what? I'm going to live unto Christ and not myself. And he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not what? Provision. Provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, the flesh wants to get you to live in your lusts, to live in the desires of your own heart. But the Bible says that we need to put on Jesus Christ and make not provisions. You know what that says to me? I need to set up boundaries in my life. I need to put up some boundaries in my life that are going to guard me from falling back into sinful life that I once had. Because, see, the flesh is dead, but I don't need to live unto it anymore. It's dead. It's gone. It's buried. It's been crucified with Christ, the Bible says. And so now, therefore, I need to set up some boundaries that are going to keep me from living back in that old sinful life. I won't lose the new creature that I am, but I need to make sure that I don't live under the old things anymore either. What we've got to do is evaluate our lives through God's Word. You need to take God's Word and evaluate the things that need to be removed from your life. And then remove them. Because if there's anything left in your life that's in the way, it's simply because you're choosing to allow it to be there. Keep your fleshly desires in check and glorify the Lord, you know, with what God intended you to do with your life. And as you do that, as you remove those things, I guarantee you that it's going to make that gift of Christ last in your life and be able to be proclaimed in your life day in and day out. And so number two, I want you to get on your handout. It says this: not only do we need to remove the things that get in the way of the gift, but we also have to submit ourselves to God's purpose for the gift. Submit yourself to God's purpose for the gift of Jesus Christ in your life. You know, every gift that you receive comes with a purpose. Unless you've got the family member who rushes to CVS or Walgreens on the way to the Christmas dinner because they forgot to get something for somebody, and they decide to pull off the quickest thing off the Christmas rack and you know, bring it to you as a gift. Maybe not so much purpose there, but typically any gift you get serves a purpose. Somebody saw a need in your life and decided they were going to meet that need with a gift. You know what? I got a new suit this year for Christmas. I had a need. My other one doesn't seem to work so well week after week after week. So somebody in my family saw a need and met the need. Praise the Lord. I thank them for that. But God's no different. Because you see, God saw there was a need for you and for me. And He saw that we couldn't meet the need ourselves. There was nothing we could do to meet our need of unrighteousness. We needed righteousness, but we were unrighteous and we couldn't do a thing about it. So God saw the need and then He met the need with His Son, Jesus Christ. God sent Christ to this earth in the form of flesh, yet fully God. And then He gave His life up as a sacrifice on the cross for my sins and for yours. Something we could not do. We could not have a life of righteousness nor live righteously. So God met that need by sending Christ to us. But just as He gave us that gift, it was with a purpose. Okay, the purpose wasn't just so that we can now be saved. The purpose had much more to do with who we are now living as Christ-empowered people. Look at back at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go back there with me. And we're in verse 18. Now that we're a new creature, look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible and I see something repeated four times in two verses, there's got to be some importance. You see the word reconcile used four times in those two verses. And what we see is that God was reconciling the world unto Himself, and it says in verse 19 that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Not imputing their trespasses, those that were trespassing against Him during that time, it says unto them. But it says, and hath committed unto us today Paul and those beyond that living in this period of grace, he's committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. There's a purpose to God saving us so that we can now take that ministry of reconciliation and make it a part of our life, helping others to be reconciled to God. He's now using us, his people, that have trusted Christ as their Savior, to reconcile people to him. And see, it's a ministry. But someone who is in the ministry doesn't mean that they're a full-time church person. You know, they're not a pastor or have to be a missionary or anything like that.
Right.
See, when we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, we commit ourselves to God's ministry,
yes,
which is anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to say, okay, well, if I'm going to be saved, well, now I've got to surrender my life and go to full-time service. You know, God needs those people that will do that. He needs people to surrender to him full-time. But you know what? He needs everyone who trusts Christ to be a part of the ministry of reconciliation. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And that's what Paul's writing to them, to the people here in verses 18 and 19. He says he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And in verse 18, he says, given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, here's the thing, though. If we're not submitting to God's purpose, then we can begin to get frustrated. God's given us a gift with a purpose. And I liken it unto getting a gift for Christmas. How many guys got tools for Christmas this year? We only had one, the same one, Pastor Tom. Now we got two this time, good. I like getting tools for Christmas, but I didn't get any this year either. But say you got a screwdriver for Christmas. I know a lot of people, who's going to get one screwdriver for Christmas, but maybe it was. And they got a box of screws. Now I can take that gift, not having any idea of how to use a screwdriver or what to do with it, and I can say, you know what? That looks pretty sharp. I bet I could hang something from it. And I decide to go over and I decide to put it in the wall and I decide to start pounding with the screwdriver that nail into the wall. What's going to happen? It's not going to work real. Yeah, not much. I'm going to get frustrated. Probably nail my fingers a few times. Get a little upset. All because I'm not using what I was given, that gift, for the right purpose. And you know what? It doesn't just frustrate the person that's using the gift the wrong way. It can also frustrate the person who gave the gift, thinking, you fool. I gave you a screwdriver and you don't know how to use it. But you know what? The Bible says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, which means that we can take what God has given to us with a purpose and we can misuse it. And you know what it does? It frustrates the Spirit. It grieves the Spirit. Why? Because we're not submitting ourselves to God's way. We're not submitting ourselves to what His purpose is because we're simply using the tool the wrong way instead of using it the way that He intended. And God didn't just give us a gift. He gave us a gift with an instruction book of how to use it. And so the thing that I have found with teenagers, and I found it with adults too, but working with the teens, I find so many, they'll come into the youth group and they'll profess to be saved. And I don't doubt that they are. But I'll ask them about their salvation, their relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'll ask them why He died for them, and they'll simply leave it at the fact so that I could have eternity in heaven with Him. So you're right. Is there anything beyond that? No. And that's where they begin to miss the point. And I find them so frustrated because they can't seem to live the Christian life. And the problem is they're not submitting themselves to God's plan and purpose for that life that they now have. And so they get frustrated. You know, Romans 6, 1 and 2, you don't have to turn there, but it says that, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then Paul turns around and answers the question for him and says, God forbid. No. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? See, we can't live a sinful life once God's given us a new life and a purpose to live righteously unto Him. Your handout says the Bible teaches that God wants to use people after they're saved. He makes us new for a purpose. God just doesn't make us new so that we can enjoy this life. He makes us new with a purpose. To do something. To be used of Him. And it requires action on the part of the believers. Your handout says that you must come to a point where you're willing to submit yourself to God in His way. You submit to God in His way, and now He can use you. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. The Bible's clear. We submit ourselves to God, or we submit ourselves to our flesh. You know, Romans 6:16 is in your handout, and it says this, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto what? Righteousness. Who are you submitting yourself to today? Are you submitting yourself unto God and His ways and His purposes according to His Word? Are you submitting yourself unto your own desires and your own ways, which is just the fleshly life, and it's going to bring nothing but sin and frustration in your life? You know, for us to be able to take that gift of Christ and make it effective in our life day in and day out, we've got to be able to remove the things that get in the way of that. We've got to submit to God's plan and purpose for the gift that He's given to us. And finally, number three, it's going to come by sharing the gift you have with others. The best way to maintain the excitement of a Christmas gift, I have found, is by sharing it with others. Sharing it with others, and you know what? It stays exciting. This Christmas, we've got a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And so it was a lot of fun watching them open presents, because they just, everything was great to them. But especially our 3-year-old, who's Jacob. Everything he opened. I mean, it could have been, he got a hat for Christmas. He opened that thing up and he was like, all right, wow, you know, holding it up, excited. He got, I know, a board game for Christmas, and he opened it up. I mean, he was just as excited, hollering. And then he opened his Woody doll from Toy Story. That's what he's been asking for all year long. He wanted a Buzz Lightyear and a Woody doll. Well, he got the Woody doll, and man, he came unglued with that one. And so he was excited about it. But what usually happens with, you know, after the next day of Christmas is gone and the toys that the kids had, they kind of begin to lose some of that zeal for it, right? But what I have found with Jacob is every time somebody new comes to the house, what's the first thing he's got to do? He's got to run and show them that Woody doll that he got. I mean, he gets all pumped up for it again. I mean, just the zeal for that doll comes back because he gets to share it with somebody new. How true is that in our Christian life? We need to be able to share the gift that we've been given with others. And look back at our text at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Part of the purpose that came with God renewing us and giving us this new life is so that we can now represent Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Remember, he's speaking of, we once were old, those things are passed away, and now behold, all things are new. And now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Reconcile ourselves unto God, and to become ambassadors, or representatives of Jesus Christ. Sharing with others who Christ is and what he's done for us in our life, and this free gift. You know, he also tells Timothy on your handout, you got 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. He tells Timothy, look, keep in memory the things I've taught you and share that with others, and you'll be a good minister. A good minister of that ministry of reconciliation. We got to be able to share the gift. Share it and keep it alive in our lives. You know, your handout says that with the gift of salvation, you can give it away as many times as you want and never run out. See, if Jacob took that Woody doll and gave it to somebody who he, you know, he's excited about it and said, here, I want you to have it. Well, now he's got it no more and he can't give it to anybody else. It's gone. But with our salvation, the gift that God's given to us, we can share that with somebody, give it to somebody, and we still have our salvation. Never lose it. And the other great thing about our salvation that's unlike a Christmas gift is, you know what? With our salvation, we can share it anytime, anywhere. Your handout says the Christian can share this gift anytime and anywhere. I like the Apostle Paul, and in Ephesians 6:20, he refers to himself as an ambassador in bonds. He's saying that I'm a prisoner, but you know what? I'm still representing Jesus Christ. It didn't stop him from teaching and exhorting believers and showing others, even the prison guards, who Christ was. He simply could have said, being shackled in a prison, that's it, forget it, I'm done. But he didn't. He continued on. And you know why he continued on? Because the gift that he had received through Jesus Christ meant that much to him. Amen. When the gift that you've been given through Jesus Christ means something to you, you're going to share it no matter what the circumstances of your life is. You're going to share it in the good times and the bad times. I mean, I remember stories of Brother Norm Shive when he'd be in the hospital on one of his, you know, visits there in his health when it was, when he was ailing, he was in the hospital, And he would lead people to Christ in the bed next to him. He's in there himself. And not such a good time. But sharing Christ with somebody else. It didn't matter the circumstance. The Apostle Paul, it didn't matter the fact that he was in prison. He still shared Christ with those around him. You know, if the free gift that God has offered you means something, then you won't just push it aside and treat it like a Christmas gift with little interest. You're going to cherish it and seek to share it with others. And so our lives with this gift that God has given to us, if we're here today and we know Christ is our Savior, then our lives are going to take that gift and we're going to put it to use and make it last simply by removing the things that get in the way of that gift. We're going to submit ourselves to God so that that gift that He gave to us is used for the right purpose. And then we're going to take that gift and take it out and share it with others. You know, Christmas and all the gifts come and go each year. And year by year, the gifts of old get tossed aside and broken and thrown away. But your handout says the gift of salvation will never leave you. However, many people treat this gift just as any other gift, any other free gift, and take it for granted. It's interesting how in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, right after Paul finishes chapter 5, the first thing he tells them in chapter 6 is he says that we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. He didn't want the Corinthians to receive. They already received the grace, but he didn't want them to do it in vain, with emptiness, with no effect. And if you're here today, you might say, I don't know that I've ever accepted the gift of salvation in my life. I don't really know what that means. And you can have an opportunity this morning to get that settled. But you might also be here this morning and say, you know what? My life really isn't being used for the purpose that God intended it to be. I know that I've made Christ my Savior, but I definitely know there's things in my life that are hindering me from living my life unto God, unto Christ for His purpose. And I need to submit myself. I need to share the gift of Christ more with others so that I can maintain that zeal that I once had when I first believed. If we can do that this morning by applying these principles from 2 Corinthians 5 to our lives, we'll be able to make that gift of Christ last. In your handout, the last thing says, the life which we live as we believe on Jesus Christ must be lived out through each and every one of us as we carry the news of the free gift of salvation to those around us. We've got to make a decision to live unto Christ and do what God's purpose and God's plan for the gift is in our life. All right. Well, let's go ahead and stand this morning. And let's go in an attitude of prayer. And if you're here this morning, maybe you say, I just don't know that I've received this gift. I don't know that I've trusted Christ as my Savior. If you're here this morning, you don't know that you've ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and accepted that gift that God has offered unto you through His own Son. Then I encourage you this morning, as the instruments play, we have people available that would be happy to take you into a private room and show you from the Bible how that you can know that today, without a shadow of a doubt, that you can be saved.